Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Driving Time. I'm here with T-San, who's just gotten up to give Bandit a kick up the ass for making noise, and with Dale as well, who is our special guest for today. How are you guys today?
Good. Bandit's my cat for all of the listeners.
Not a sexual.
It's not the gimp. we're good. We're good. It's what, a Sunday night. I've just been for a little backseat passenger ride in Dale's little Renault.
Megane RS 275.
Yep, thank you. And Tommy took it for a little bit of a spin as well. So it's good to be reminded what it's like to be a single child in the back seat of a car again. That's where I used to sit, in the middle seat of the back there. Good views through the middle.
Converting into a Frenchman.
And actually, Mum and Dad did have a Renault back in the day. It's probably the first car I can remember. I used to get car sick in it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, like it must have just had the most rolliest suspension.
Probably.
Back in the day. Yeah. This is like 78, 9 sort of time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But no, welcome, Dale. It's been overdue, I think.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
But you've been on Fifth Wrist podcast before, right?
I was a regular guest.
I
wouldn't say regular. I was one of the OGs, I think, back at the start with El Presidente, Alex and Anthony, Defining Time.
And if I remember correctly, did they go over the whole pilot thing? Like, we don't need to go over that again.
Nah, we did a Flieger pilot watch-off
thing
that was fun.
I think that's how I ended up with my Stover.
Oh, is it?
I was listening to that, because I think Anthony picked something, and he's like, oh, there's another recommendation. You could also get the Stover and get it engraved. And I'm like, what? Engraved? Okay, yep.
Yeah, he loves his Stovers. Good watch, though, yeah.
It's good that it's all intertwined like that, though. I like that.
Mm.
So we won't be spending too much time talking about planes, although I did pick up a $5 secondhand plane book at South Melbourne Markets the other day that you might quite like.
Yeah.
I think it's got like 800 of the world's best planes in it or something like that.
Oh, wow.
It's a fantastic toilet book.
You
leave it in the toilet, and when you're spending a little bit too much time in there, or you think you're going to settle in, that's the book to have.
Or your long bath.
You could do it in a long bath, but I've got podcasts to listen to. I've got lots of things to do in the bath.
You've got the Robin the Regulator to listen to for 4 hours. So.
Exactly. And Dale came bearing gifts. I thought I was being a good host. I've got Cheezels, Maltesers. I'm drinking a whiskey. You guys can talk about what you're drinking. But Dale came bearing Hot Wheels cars and a Porsche 934 Turbo RSR for me, which is fantastic. I'm not one to keep things in boxes either, by the way, so that's straight out, and it will be joining.
Excellent.
They usually stay out for a couple of days on sort of presentation. When I used to work from home, I'd always have something on my desk, and then it will join the others. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That.
It was the closest white Porsche I could find in my little collection in the tub, so I was like, that one looks pretty good.
I've never seen a white Targa for sale, either by Hot Wheels or what's the other one, Majora or something like that? They do good Porsches.
Yeah.
And not Matchbox either. So until someone comes out with a white Targa, that is very, or an ice green coupe, then that's great. Thank you. Yeah. I love it. I
couldn't find an RX-8, sorry.
No, but Tom quite fittingly got a Mazda.
Yes, so that's good. I got a Mazda RX-3 with a nice wide body on it.
What colour?
Very beautiful. Orange.
Nice.
So we'll hop straight into it. Dale, what are you wearing on your wrist?
I was wearing my Autodromo Group B black dial with the orange accents.
Love that. Probably the OG.
One of the originals, yeah.
And
it's a Series 2. It doesn't have the fixed spring bars, so it's got the
which
nice...
Which is kind of better.
Yeah, it's better because you can do NATO and the integrated bracelet, but it's still one of the original colors that came out. So now I've just got it on the, what do we say, this was desert sandy,
it's the fifth wrist strap.
chicken strap. Yes. Yeah, with my little personalized number on it,
which is fantastic. It looks great on that. But you've also come with a very manly man bag.
It's not a man bag. That's a little folding case protector travel case.
Yeah. It's halfway there though. It's more than just that, Dale. It's got a lot going on there. But what have you got in the bag?
Just a couple of Traskers that I. One's my personal one. A little commuter with a Woodland Green, 36mm, and I've got a new GMT that I think they just launched it on the weekend or yesterday or Friday. It's the Venturer GMT with their first independent hour hand, white dial and a grey 24-hour bezel.
I'm assuming they're all on your Insta site.
And I did a review on the GMT on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, go check them out. I've not seen this one. What's this one again?
The commuter with the Woodland Green.
Yeah, I've not seen this in the flesh. I've seen it on your Instagram, and I think it is fantastic. For reasons to be discussed in the next 5 minutes, I love this. I love the size. I love the dimensions. I really like the dial because I like color. And the little orange highlights against the green work really well. Yeah, I like it a lot. Very nice. What are you wearing?
I am wearing the Oxen Junior Settimana that was co-designed with Fithwrist.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've seen one in the flesh yet either, but I absolutely love it, and if I didn't already have an Ox, I would have absolutely bought the Fithwrist Ox because I think it's really interesting. I love the dial. Obviously, the complication is interesting, which is what I look for in a watch. And what I noticed about what I was reminded when I saw Anthony's Sun and Moon, because I just caught up with him in Adelaide last weekend. I haven't seen Anthony in ages, which was lovely. Is how modern the case of the Ox is, and again reminding myself of all the marketing spiel about even my watch is, you know, this, I think they get it turned by, it's titanium case turned by Sauber or someone like that, some Formula One manufacturer.
I can have a look through my emails
and
I thought they were more industrial.
It kind of reflects how modern that is though. Like it's
modern industrial.
It's so modern. Yeah, exactly. And it's weird because Anthony's complication is Sun and Moon, which I think of as a really traditional complication, and yet it sits within a really modern case.
Yeah.
So it reads like a really modern watch, even though it's kind of an old school complication. And same with this one. I just think you guys have done great.
They're just different too. I like different and colour. I'm a bit like, I've been selling off a few pieces and going for something with colour and something, you know, different and unique. And that's definitely, that Ox is definitely unique. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm so happy good job, Fithwrist, guys.
Yeah, but I'm so happy you got one as well, Tommy.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. Because congrats.
The reason why I ended up getting one was I was going to get an Ox anyway, but there was too many models that I couldn't narrow down which one 100% I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh, so the decision was made for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Perfect. Yep,
this is even better.
Exactly.
Makes it easy.
And I really like it. And I'm also, I mean, it's not unsurprisingly, you're in a different place with your collecting than I am, and budget also, but I'm so happy that you sort of stretched and got this.
Yeah, I'd been waiting a while because I wasn't sure what I wanted to get, and I was probably looking at getting an Ox this year, 23, not last year. I was kind of saving to do it this year, but with that opportunity came up and the fact that my car was basically stalled out and looked like it was going to be stalled out until this year pretty much, it was like, well, I don't need the money right this second for the car, so I'll just spend it on getting that.
Yeah.
And it also worked out that I got notified about it reasonably early on. So it was just after my birthday and they said arrival time is going to be December just before Christmas. So I'm like, cool. Half of it's my birthday present to myself. Half of it's my Christmas present to myself.
Excellent.
When's your birthday?
August, end of August.
Well, mine's December 12, so I used to do a lot of that sort of stuff. Especially negotiating with parents over bigger Lego sets. I'd be like, well, how about we go for a combined Christmas and birthday? Yeah. And I'll get the big Lego set.
That's the way.
That was the conversation.
Yes.
And in contrast, in many ways, I think, to both you guys, and maybe in some ways to myself, I am wearing my latest acquisition, which I didn't think at all I would be getting, certainly in February of 2023, if at all. But in some ways, I am giving Rolex a second chance. So, and I'm just placing it next to yours. They're very similar, aren't they? So I'm wearing, I've got a 1996 Rolex Explorer 14270, and that's pretty fucking good for me because I don't know references or care about them.
No idea.
All I know so far is not Explorer. All I know is it's an Explorer. It's a 36, not the 39. So
yeah, perfect.
It's more in the Anthony camp than the Vinny camp. Well, Vinny's a young, strapping man. He probably should be wearing a 39, whereas I'm an aging little guy. So
we're talking about wrist sizes, by the way.
That's right, exactly. So all I know about it so far, 1996. It's in great condition. Yes. Like I couldn't even find a scratch on it.
Wow.
It's been polished. It's starting to get a little bit. No, exactly. I'm assured it's not been polished. Not that I'm overly worried about that. But it all looks like the lugs look amazing. I love how thin the lugs are, and I'm looking at yours as well, and they're not dissimilar at all.
Rolex is thinner.
A difference between yours and mine, and this apparently was one of the first years that didn't have the drilled lug holes, making it more difficult to change my bracelet as opposed to yours.
Yours are polished and mine's brushed mostly.
Yeah.
With a polished bezel. And we're talking about the Trasker, by the way.
And
in relation to the
Because they're very similar. They're really very similar.
Yeah.
And tritium dial, the last of the tritium dials, which is starting to patina a little bit now.
Yeah, the tritium dials went up to 98. Because I know, 98, 99. Because I was looking at a birth year one.
Yeah.
And 99 is the transition year for Rolex, where you have like, for most of the models, there's three versions of it. There's the tritium, there's the Luminova, and then the Super Luminova.
Right.
Because they ran it with Luminova for a very short period in 99, and then transitioned to the Super Luminova.
Yeah. So look, I just thought I should give it another go. Because with the Milgauss, I thought that would be my kind of watch for sure. And I think dial and glass and second hand, it absolutely was my watch. But the case was thick, and the lugs were thick, and the bracelet was kind of polished. It was just too much.
Because the Milgauss is like 40 by 48.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mate just bought one.
Yeah.
He loves it.
So I love the look of it, but it's wearing it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I tried it on the Milgauss. I actually really liked it, but I've got slightly bigger wrists, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing that about it for me is that with lugs like that on the Milgauss, the whole watch and the bracelet, it actually reads like a rectangle.
Yeah,
it doesn't read like a round watch anymore. If you include the lugs and the bracelet, it's like this big rectangle on your wrist.
It's not as slim and
Whereas this one being only 36 wide and the lugs are 20 wide, it's this round thing and then these very very thin fine lugs really. And then again, that particular model has a very sort of OG or vintage bracelet, like the what's that bit called? Where it joins on. That's all just very simple. Whereas the watches that came after it
were solid
end lengths, exactly. They moved from hollow to solid.
And look at the clasp, it's like
that
vintage genius. Yeah.
Which I think appeals to me, right?
Yeah.
Like when I picked it up and when I put it on.
This is all solid.
Yeah. Whereas this is all clanky. So look, I'll give it another go. I think if I were to choose a watch, it wouldn't be a Submariner, again, because every man and his dog has a Submariner, but...
I think a Submariner's too big for us.
It would have to be a vintage one, like a 40 mil or something like that.
I've even tried on... for me personally, I've tried on one of the Irwin's vintage ones, and it's still just too big.
Mm. I think you can get away with it with a bracelet, and it depends on, as we talked about, lug length and other bits and pieces.
Is the Tudor sub a bit smaller?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I had one of those on loan from Erwin's got one Dane. Of those as well, I had one on loan from Dane for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
From the Watch Vault. That's yeah. pretty nice. But it was, yeah, very vintagey.
Yeah. So that was that came out of the blue. It was one of those ones, a bit like the ice cream metallic Porsche. It just popped up on a Facebook thing, and I'm like, yeah, I've been thinking about that for way too many years.
Okay,
that, just do it.
That answered a question.
How did it happen?
Yeah, I was wondering. I'm like, you went over to South Australia. You're with Anthony. I know Anthony's been slimming down his collection. I'm like, is that Anthony's Explorer?
True. To be fair, I did give Anthony a heads up. Like when I was on my way over, I did say, "Are you thinking of getting rid of anything?"
Yeah, he had it for a while, didn't he?
He did a while ago, but I think then he decided it was a keeper.
Yeah, fair enough.
So
yeah.
and he's been running with that, the Batman. And then he's staying obviously on. So he has changed over a few to get a hold of the.
I think he's.
Yep. Yeah. The Moser went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's down to Batman Explorer. Not that I've talked to him,
yeah.
but day and night.
You've been stalking him.
If anyone wants it, I think he's trying to sell his 42mm date, Oxen Junior date. But
oh, okay.
I don't know if he sold it or not.
Oh, because he's got this one now. Because going for the yeah, day right. and night. Yeah, right.
Because, like you, with the Sethi Mama,
yeah.
it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think he just has a couple of G-Shocks for parent stuff.
It was lovely. I caught up with Anthony in Adelaide about a couple of weekends ago, and I was really enjoying my trip. First time non-rowing trip to Adelaide, so a real tourist doing McLaren Vale and wineries and
oh, you got it.
Nice restaurants. Hmm. And I drove there, which I found amazingly easy, the drive, because it's on a smaller road and there's places to stop and, you know, those art silos to see and...
Yep.
Don't close those. I'm going to eat those Maltesers.
I keep eating them. I don't want to.
Well, exercise some self-control.
I have.
It was lovely. We were at breakfast and I had Emma, my girlfriend, there. And Anthony just launched into, let's educate this watch virgin type of situation. And Anthony's wife, Mel, was there as well, which is lovely. And their beautiful little girl. So, it was great. I think it was good. I got a photo of it and, it was good. Good to see him. It's been too long. So yeah, so that's a long winded what we're drinking. Oh, I'm drinking some whiskey and dry.
Whiskey and dry.
Yeah.
I had a coffee cause I am.
You had a coffee.
Maintaining self-control while munching on Maltesers.
Well, you've done very well. You're on some fitness regime and very disciplined in that department, so it's good.
Except for the Maltesers.
Well, that's I'm an enabler that way.
You are.
Well, I'll just fire through quickly. So last weekend was the 24 hours of Daytona. Not that I doubt either of you watched it. Nope. I know you're too busy with kids. And
I might have been in Adelaide.
Or fishing.
Yep.
Yeah, you were probably off doing something.
Yep.
Sadly enough for us, T-San and I, the Porsche fanatics, the Porsches didn't go so well. They had Matt Campbell, the Aussie number 7. He had pace early. And they were fighting for the lead, but then they had an issue with their standardized in the series hybrid unit. So they kind of fell off the lead and went a couple of laps down and fought their way back to finish 6th or 7th, I think.
Yeah.
Overall, the winner was Acura, so an American version of Honda. And the ice cream truck is back.
I've never heard an ice cream or Mr. Whippy. Is that what they call him down here?
Yeah, ice cream man or Mr. Whippy. Yeah.
It's called an ice cream man.
Oh, Mr. Whippy.
Mr. Whippy, yeah.
My kids can't say Mr. Whippy.
Yeah.
So it's ice cream man.
I've never heard of Mr. Whippy in the suburb of Port Melbourne before.
No. Put him a bit down our way.
Well, I'm sure. That sort of makes a bit more sense. Whereas here, who's going to buy them? Bikies and wharfies?
Hey, man. I want a Mr. Whippy.
Drop top.
Yeah. So, yeah, the number 60 Acura led the entire race basically and dominated it. Ended up winning, which was cool because they won last year. So they won the last of the DPI era of IMSA and the first of the GTP era. And the best part about the race, on the final lap, another Aussie in LMP2, which is the second tier prototype class,
yep.
made an overtake across the line to win the class by 0.016 seconds. So it's a 1,000th of a second.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I've only been watching...
Imagine that... losing by that amount.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be pissed.
You'd be stupid.
Those LMP-type cars, I'm only familiar with them because I've been watching the Fassbender stuff. And they seem to take a, you know, overtake a Porsche, whatever they are, just like they're standing still.
Mm-hmm.
They look fantastic. But yeah, so I haven't been watching proper racing. I've been watching Fassbender. I'm sure I've been watching something else as well.
That series is so good.
Yeah.
Because it's a good insight into...
how hard it is.
Yeah, like regular person.
Yes. Gentleman driver.
We're just going to drop you into racing. Like, this is what it takes.
No.
Right.
And it's like...
what's it called?
So it's the actor. What's his first name?
Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender.
And it's called Road to Le Mans. He's grown up. Right. Harold in Le Mans.
Okay.
And he's like, well, I'm at a point in life where it's like, if I don't do it now, it's not going to happen. So he slowed down the acting and cranked up I'm going to do fitness stuff, do more track work, and started in cup cars, and then worked his way up from cup cars to the European Le Mans series in 911 GTE. Sorry, a 911 RSR. So it's not a production based car. It's like a space frame. It's essentially like a prototype, but with a Porsche body on the top.
Right.
And then the third year, what was he in?
Yeah, so he's been in that since, I think, halfway through the second year. Because that's the car he raced at Le Mans. So he just needs to spend as much time in it as he can to get as much seat time.
And it's just, for me, it's... so I think they gave themselves 3 or 4 years to work their way up to actually doing the 24 hours of Le Mans.
When I have time, I'll try
and... Yeah. But it's... what I find fascinating is how much doubt he has in his own abilities, both justified and possibly just mind games as well. Like, he crashes the car quite frequently.
Okay.
And takes it very personally, which is great.
Well, that's
true. But... yeah. It really does inhibit him
responsibility
performing as well.
Yeah, probably a bit of a mess with your head a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you kind of, you know, you kind of think to yourself, well, if you had the means and you had the time, that you should be able to do it. But it just doesn't look that simple. So, it's a really good series. You should check it out.
I will if I
have the time. When you're sitting around in airports.
I don't really sit around too much in airports, to be honest.
When you've got that...
I try not to anyway.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but we've just been asked
technical issue we've been
to hold here. We've just got the latest episode of Fassbender on. Exactly. So what else has been going on? What else have we missed?
And then today was the Bathurst 12-hour. So for me, it's been two back-to-back Sundays of getting up at 5:40... sorry, like 5:15 in the morning to watch 5:40 a.m. starts of races. And again, Porsche and Matt Campbell just didn't win. They came second. Matt was chasing down the leading Mercedes in the closing laps, but had an issue where he clipped a wall while he was chasing down and didn't really recover his speed from that. But it was another 12 hours of racing, and then in the end, the top three cars were in a second and a half of each other.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Man.
So you sat there for 12 hours watching it all day? Or did you come and go?
No. So I normally...
you guys worked on the car today, didn't you?
I normally would, but today I...
put it on in the garage.
Yeah.
So...
yeah. Projected up on a wall or something while you're working on the car.
I would if... yeah. It was on when we were working on cars.
Up on the roof, because I'm normally lying on the floor, but I don't have a hoist.
I changed two car batteries yesterday into both of the old cars, and I thought to myself, if the boys are relatively as frustrated doing proper work on their cars as I am trying to change two batteries, then, you know, this is some tough work. I can imagine, like, I'm like, God, this fucking spanner doesn't fit in here. And I was, and then I realized I was wearing my new watch. And I was thinking, idiot, what are you doing? It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
So I pulled down the sleeve of my thing. But of course, I should have just taken it off.
Just take it off.
But
that's what Casio F91Ws are for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anyway.
Well, that's what I did with my Sentimana a couple of weeks ago. I was doing something on helping my dad get his car ready. And then there was I heard like a noise. And I was just like, oh, fuck, I just hit this brand new watch. Against steel.
It's the first one that hurts. It's the first one that hurts. Now you're good. You're good now. So you'll be fine.
I just went this morning to
Don. No, you go.
Yeah. I haven't been to a car show for a while, so there was Porsches by the Bay this morning down in Elwood. Really nice turnout of cars. I just assume you know about these things.
I don't know.
Yeah.
When do I have time to?
Yeah, that's on me. I will. No, I absolutely will.
Just whining.
And a few of the other guys that were there that came, like one said, I was going to bring, no, I didn't bring my Corvette, or I didn't bring my this, I'm like, just bring it. Like, it does not matter. It does not matter. In fact, just like I appreciate the variety of Porsches there, both old and new, more old than new.
Yeah.
If someone turned up in a Z, like, fuck yeah, I love that. Absolutely. So that was this morning, which is good because I hadn't been seeing much car stuff. Although when I was in Adelaide, I popped into, what's it called? Richmond's. I hadn't been there before, which is the equivalent of Dutton's here Classic Throttle Shop up in Sydney.
Yeah.
Very reasonable prices, I thought. Like, not unreasonable prices, let's put it that way. Not stupid prices.
Well, I mean,
in my opinion,
what's stupid and what's not?
For what we've been looking at, all prices currently are stupid.
Before, if you only came to cars 3 or 4 years ago,
it seems stupid. If you were looking at pre that, it's like
Which is an old.
We'll put it this way: they're a Datsun Hakusuka went up for sale on collecting cars yesterday. Another fella I know up in Sydney, he's got a Haku, and. 160 grand it sold for.
Yeah.
And it's got rust through it. It's got a roll cage in it. The fellow I know in Sydney, his is a clean example with not much rust. And Collecting Cars told him he'd be lucky if he gets 100 because JDM prices are dropped.
What's going on there?
But this thing sold for 160.
Yeah.
So I don't think... I don't know whether they're just managing expectations.
Right.
A little bit or... I don't know. But I don't think they've dropped that much.
Did you see...
They dropped a little bit.
It dropped a little bit, but I wouldn't say they're excessively
no.
back to where they were.
No.
No.
That'll never happen.
No, that's like house prices. People are bitching about house prices going back. They're higher than they were at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
What are you bitching about? Like,
I know.
If you said to someone...
It's just the interest rates have gone up, so everyone's shitty. They can't get the money to...
Sort of fair enough, although if you were borrowing when you couldn't factor in a 3%... rate hike, then maybe you shouldn't have been borrowing that. So I'm just wondering, did you see the video I posted of the Bend? So that was another thing, driving to Adelaide. I had no idea the Bend was right on the main road.
Oh, yeah, I flew over it the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's the Bend.
Is it a big track?
It's huge.
Is it?
7.7 Ks, I think it is.
Because from the viewing platform, it doesn't look that big.
It's about 40 minutes out of Adelaide.
Yeah.
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 Which is pretty good.
Well,
pretty close.
For anyone
compared to Melbourne.
For anyone who doesn't live in Adelaide, it's very good.
Yeah.
But Adelaide's like, oh, it's
so far away.
I heard you and Anthony talking about it on a previous podcast, saying, it's in the country or something. It's like,
Adelaide is in the country. Sorry to Adelaide people.
That was in the context of if there was a Grand Prix there.
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
But even that probably would be better.
There's a difference between, like, track day, club, enthusiast races going there and going to race there.
Yeah, to a Formula One.
Versus spectators going there for a big event.
Mm-hmm.
40, for me, if it was like, oh, I've got that facility 40 minutes away, I'd be clicking my heels, jumping around, real excited.
Bloody oath. What's this?
That's a Haku.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Yeah. So they've got that one of those there on display. They had quite a few nice cars there, really. So
probably a GT 2000 that's been,
Right.
Who knows? The Shaheens have some money. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a legit Haku.
Yeah. They had some nice cars there. And it's a really nice setup.
Like the proper GTR. There's only 197 of those.
I wouldn't be surprised if they
could be. I don't know. Has it got flares? No, it's not. Because it's got the... No, it's got front flares.
There we go.
So the originals didn't have front flares.
Okay.
They only had rear flares. Apparently anyway. You can tell by the back windscreen too. Anyway. Oh. I digress.
No, no. I love that shit. It's like... it's like watch pedantics and, yep. and same with cars. Absolutely. Yep. So there's been enough car stuff going on, which is good.
Yeah, I spent the day mounting the dashboard in the car.
That sounds awful.
Was it, yeah, was it frustrating?
Yeah, yeah, I
did. Or race dash though?
I did fiberglass, so not a factory one. Cause,
not, not so bad, because you can just cut it and make it fit.
Because yeah. we were, I needed a dash for the car because the previous owner had stripped it out because they were building a time attack.
This is the RX-7.
Weight is, yeah. Mm. Weight is the enemy.
So because fiberglass is so heavy.
Any, oh, no, as in they pulled out the standard dash at some point.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, why don't we just get the son of the guy that does our work? He has a fiberglass business that he's starting up. So we're like, oh, we'll find a dash for him that he can make a mold of, and then we'll just get the first one out of the mold. One came up for sale after waiting a couple of weeks. $1,500, completely rooted. We're still missing the cluster and everything because in the FD it's like the main dashboard and then you have the HVAC insert, which is a separate piece, mm-hmm. and then like the cluster is another separate piece.
Yeah.
So it was like $1,500 for just not a complete dash, and it was rooted. And then we called a guy that parts out FDs in Newcastle in New South Wales, and his dad does fiberglass stuff, and he's like, oh yeah, he's got one that he made for his FD race car. Yeah, it's just $500. And we're like, alright, sure.
So
a third of the price and it's just good to go, no worries.
Did you fit it? Did it get
all fitted in?
And it's always nice so it when works. You achieve a goal.
Well, yeah. I know it's again the most simple example by comparison, but
going back to your battery.
Going back, I'm surprised the ducktail fitted on.
Yeah, spoilers.
Do you know what I mean?
Body, yeah.
Yeah, because it's made of fiberglass. It's not made of metal. It's someone else's, you know, that I've inherited. And all I did was pull off my old lid and put on the new one. And the only adjustment I had to make was add a washer or two to kind of make it sit right. And then it kind of worked. It was, in hindsight, surprising it worked.
It sound, T sounds honestly a bit had like the most luck I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I know.
It's like
I agree. No,
you did all these things and had no issues. I believe it. Anyone else would have had like, oh, the mold is terrible and it doesn't
totally,
fit. And
totally. Totally.
File it and
come work on my cars.
So I was going to say that. I thought about that today. Can you give us a quick update on your two cars that you're working on?
Hmm.
Sounds like the Z's pretty sorted, so you might not need to spend too much time talking about that one. What's going on with this with the other car?
The Z. The Z still needs stuff.
Does it?
Yeah, but
project cars always need stuff.
Project cars always need stuff. I drive it.
Driving
yeah.
it, yeah.
Driving it, but yeah, it still needs a few bits and pieces. But the Silvia, I keep going back and forth. I'm like, my wife will agree. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to part it out. I'm going to keep it. And because it's been sitting there for ages, like...
It was just this orange cell when I first saw it, right? It's
still
orange.
A shell. But the front end was all cut out because we cut out the rad support when it was... It was an ex-drift car. I used to do drifting. Not competitively, just for fun and learn car control and do it with my mates, bang doors with your mates. But I stupidly decided I'd cut the roll cage out and convert it back to a street car because JDM prices.
How long ago was that?
So that was... I cut the cage out last Christmas last year, not just the one going the previous year.
Okay. That's actually not that... I thought it might be further back than that.
No, it was last year, Christmas. So like you said, it's a shell. And then I had to repair the front end, but I was chasing parts for the to replace the rad support. Mm. So I managed to get one through Import Monster from Japan, brand new from Nissan. Sourced another sort of panel that sits behind the headlights because that was all smushed and bent from when I hit a tire wall at Winton. And then my good buddy Mikey is a... welder, it's called. He'll disagree, but yeah, we've been cutting out the bits and pieces and finally got the whole front end back together.
And it's white now as well.
That's not white
the
yet.
Car
no it's always been that color. That was my home paint job I did when it was
so it was just an orange
engine, right? So that was a reshell. So my first drift car got written off. I got smashed on the main street at Winton. I spun out. A guy came over and collected, you know. It's probably before I knew you. Got hit pretty hard actually. That car was a Sil Lady. Unfortunately, that got written off because he got smashed into. So he pulled everything out, picked up a shell for $300, which is unheard of now for an S13 shell. And reshelled it into a drift car, and then the last few years I've been, you know, slowly fixing it up to potentially put it back on the road.
And have you got all the parts for it?
I'd say I've got 85%, but it's always...
I've heard it's the last 10%.
It's the last 10%, like,
of building a car.
Exactly. Right. Look, at the moment, it's just work from the outside in, because the body needed the work. So the front end's finally back in, so I have a proper rad support in, it's all been welded in, and headlights fit and all that sort of stuff. So there's a few more things to fix up in the engine bay, and then we'll move on to the other bits and pieces that need to be
cool.
Because the interior stuff for you, it's just like when you've got 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, you can just go in and go, oh, I'll do this quickly, or I'll do...
Yeah,
do you end up doing anything quickly though, really?
No.
Exactly. No.
It's just the little increments on big jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people have asked me, they're like, oh, with like the prices of things, are you going to try road rigid? I'm like, nope, I'm keeping it as a race car, and you're the reason why, because it's like, there's nothing in the car. I need to resource everything.
Well, that shell I have has had nothing in it. I've been slowly buying parts over the last probably 2 years for it, finding interior bits.
From my point of view, it's like, spend all that money rebuilding the car standard, and probably have to spend top of what I've already spent to buy the car, basically... what I could do to just buy one and then have...
I could have a few years ago, but the price is just...
Yeah.
You can't now, so...
I'd rather spend that money on making it a crazy race car and having heaps of fun and not having to worry about Plod coming after me for...
Club Rego should be good. Eventually.
Yeah, but...
Right, so what are we talking about? I've just thought about... I hope you've given it some thought, Tom. What's the... Well, I mean, we're talking lots about cars, which is great. Talked a little bit about watches at the beginning, but...
I thought we'd go through Dale's car history and then pose Dale the dream drive questions, because we haven't done that for a while, because we haven't had a guest for a while.
We better do some watch stuff in there as well. This is a watch sort of related podcast.
Driven by time, isn't it? Or is that our Instagram chat group?
Driven by time, drive time.
Yeah.
Has there been any new watches that you guys can think of that have been at all related? I know Porsche just came out a day or two ago with some kind of orange chronograph, Hoya, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Porsche collaboration.
Yeah.
With a Carrera.
Nice.
It was a nice.
Yeah, you liked it? I was very underwhelmed, but that's okay. It doesn't mean anything.
Like, I wouldn't say I'd go and buy one, but
yeah, I actually probably like the original one they did about a year ago, which was more black and red. This one's more black and orange as an overall sort of theme.
Yeah, I like it. But too big for me and much for what it is.
Yeah. But hang on. All brands have prices are up.
Yes.
So
Rolex is Rolex has had a retail.
Yeah, but Breitling as everyone, well, and Omega, everyone, and everyone. So I think we need to do some...
What recession?
Mind adjust. Well, exactly. Exactly. Other people, I hear people talking about, what is it, two-speed economy, like, you know, the gap between rich and poor. And yes, while I totally acknowledge that, I mean, the world that we live in, everything just seems more expensive.
It's just getting...
Cars, watches, houses... I haven't seen any significant wage growth from any. If anyone wants to ring me up and let me know they've had a great pay rise or...
Irish man from...
And I don't think he'd get that. So I don't know what's going on, as always.
Even just the cost of living. Food, electricity, gas just utilities. Doubled. Utilities. Just doubled in...
amazing.
The last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's...
When they're starting to talk about legislating... capping like free market pricing, that's pretty drastic. Like, shit's going on.
That's because the government sold everything off and we've got nothing left.
Yeah,
we're a resource rich country, but we just sell it to everybody else.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was that Carrera reissue as well.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
The silver with the black dial.
So, that's about the second or third watch that Tag Heuer. Under the Hoya logo have done that if I didn't own the Skipper, I would absolutely have bought that watch. I think it's a great looking watch. 39, silver face. It had panda eyes, right? Dark mm-hmm. sub-dials. I thought it was a good looking watch. Again, a little expensive, but that's just readjusting my expectations of what stuff costs these days, I think. Mm. I liked it.
I don't remember. Yeah. I still prefer the Montreal, but it's just...
I found the Montreal had those primary colours were too much in the sub-dials, but they're so subtle. Absolutely.
It's just standard classic, like, Tri-Compax Carrera silver dial with black
sub-dials. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
It's nice, but it's not anything special.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just showing Dale on the iPad.
Oh, that's the one you liked?
That's the one that just came out, I absolutely like it. And if I didn't already own a 39mm new Tag Heuer / Heuer Carrera chronograph, then I absolutely would buy that. Yep.
Yeah, you've got the...
Small, Skipper.
And you've got that other one. Do you still have the smaller one, the black?
But that's even smaller. That's 36. Yeah, that's,
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a 1996 reissue.
Yeah, I love that one.
Of the 1965.
I like that new Skipper.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Good. And that Autodromo.
And the new Skipper.
I do.
Yeah, and Autodromo are dropping something apparently.
Yes, on the 15th.
15th?
Got the alarm set. I'll be interested.
It looks like it's going to be the Group B line, but it looks like it's going to be inspired by the Sauber's, the C9, I think it is.
So Group B as in that one?
That one.
Yeah.
That
one, yeah. Okay.
You think?
I don't know.
Another Group B?
That's what it looked like. Mm. Oh, hang on, I've got a screenshot of it. Oh, that's what...
Of a teaser.
The teaser. That's what had me worried was...
I didn't see anything.
The colour scheme of it is... The text and all is fluoro yellow. My colour scheme is like black, silver, fluoro yellow for my racing stuff. So.
You should be worried.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It might actually be a different line. Because it does say Group C, so...
Yeah, I didn't see a photo or anything of the watch. I just saw the Group C thing.
From the colours, though, I would assume that...
I mean, I'm always tempted by Autodromo, full stop.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they do the automotive watch crossover really well.
Yeah.
So it's not too, like, you know, someone just, oh, here's a tachymeter and let's make the needle look like
a thing. No, there's more going on.
They're just a bit more unique in their design language, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Like even the Group B,
It's a Delta Integrale.
Eighties, nineties.
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah,
but it's still
like they're all really automotive inspired. Like they're all based off.
Without being the boring, here's a chronograph with three sub-dials and a tachymeter.
It's always like here's some car's tacho or it's like speedometer.
Yeah, it's subtle,
but it's always like some weird wacky.
Yeah, it's obscure stuff, which is really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, not just generic.
Yep. You're right, though, it's dangerous because it's a relatively affordable price point.
Mm.
And if it's different, different is good.
Mm.
Yeah.
I haven't really liked any of the other pieces. The Group Bs.
I like those other ones, but they're too big.
They're too big.
Yeah, the Chronos, they do a nice
one. Yeah. Yeah, I quite like those. They were some of the first ones they did.
They were, yeah.
And I saw them in the flesh for the first time in the States.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is really cool because the colours and...
Yeah. Were they a bit big, though?
Yeah,
they're 40.
They might even be 43.
Yeah, okay.
But they wear big as well.
Yeah, they're quite
thick. They're thick.
The lug
length is probably long. And the straps they probably had them on from memory might have been just big. Yeah. So it was all big. I mean, it looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, there's a question for you. What other brands do automotive crossover well?
Well, I've got a good one that you will not have heard of. The office is based out of England. I don't know where they're made, but they're called Omologato.
I think you've linked that to me before.
I think so.
And they've got the TV kind of
square watches. Yeah, so their whole thing is like the guy that runs it is big into his racing, and they make watches partnered with series and racetracks and things like that, and like
got that in funky
colors. That's a great TV screen. But that's a very similar watch to an Omega TV.
Yeah. There's a lot of sort of.
That's cool. That was just absolutely cool because.
They do that in a yellow and.
Yeah, that's right.
So their whole thing is that it's all about racing, and they sponsor World Superbikes and Trans Am in America and all kind of different things. But their whole thing is the idea of the watches. They're all affordable.
Yeah,
they're all like quartz, under a, yeah, they're mainly all quartz. They're all around like under $1,000.
That's a bit of an Autodromo looking watch.
It is, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, that's a good brand. I like those. Again, because it's interesting.
What are they called?
Omologato.
Omologato. Omologato.
I've been eyeing the Panamericana, which is the TV screen in the yellow.
That's the one I've been looking at too. Yeah, that's cool. But I got other stuff I want to. Yeah. I'm saving for. So, I've just flogged off a few pieces. So, saving up for something else.
It hasn't hurt too much. Getting rid of them.
No, because I don't wear them.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, you're pretty hardcore like that.
That's yeah, good. Just trim it down. Yep. Just want a couple of nice pieces and be done. So, yeah, I can't think of any other, like, there's other brands that do it, but it's a bit tacky, or like there's Rec watches, but they, you know, they take the piece out of the car. And
so I didn't mind
their original ones. They did
the like the Mustang.
There was a couple before. I had one on loan for a while. It was, was that a car or an aeroplane though?
I don't know
that
why.
It might have been an aeroplane.
Yeah.
The Spitfire one. That Spitfire one was really good. But it was kind of disappointing as well. It's like you get the watch and it's like this tiny, just where the date wheel is. Because they had a multi-date window. You know,
like shows yeah.
Yeah, leading like days.
Yeah.
And it was just behind there. It was this tiny piece of metal.
For some reason, I'm really thinking about that. Like I have a hard time reconciling that it's not still a flying plane or a driving car, that it's now a watch. Like I almost don't like the fact that it's not serving its original purpose, even though the original one probably was never going to fly again or
drive again. Yeah, the Spitfire ones are probably like it was sitting in a field somewhere, never to be repaired again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Jump 747s, so
they do those key tags.
Yeah, the little plane tags.
Key tags, yeah.
The bag tags.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got two of those.
Yes. But with those, I guess, because I can go, okay, well, there's a desert of planes just sitting there being cut up anyway. Like, yeah. I can sort of deal with that. But, yeah, they're funny ones, those ones. I tell you what, I was at a Breitling event, got a lovely invitation from Shelley, who works.
She's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, she is lovely. Yeah. Really great. If anyone's...
Chadston Breitling Boutique.
Yeah, but what I'd encourage people to do is, whether you think you're a fan of the brand at all, go in and talk to Shell and try on all the different watches. Because if you're like me, you think you know the brand and you think you know what you like, which for me is the Navitimers.
Mm.
But you've never tried on the Colts or any of the other ones, you know what I mean? So just go and try them on.
Mm.
And get a full understanding of the range. Anyway, so she had us over the other night for some drinks, which was lovely, in the boutique. And I met a guy. Wow, I probably should have been a little bit more organized here. Anyway, we don't have to go into too much detail,
you can do him as your recommendation down the line.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you, Tom.
Because
I hadn't prepared that either. So yeah, we'll do that, but we'll get him on. I reckon we should get him on as a guest in our next thing, because when I was talking to him, he basically made it pretty clear, first and foremost, he's a car guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually already released one line of watches that he's designed and made himself.
Right.
And he's working on the second one now. Yeah. Like, I like watches, but I've never done it. Do you know what I mean? Like, just the idea of it is daunting, let alone the execution of it.
Exactly.
And he's already done one and released it, and he's working on the second one, which he had a prototype for there on the night, which is this carbony, heavy thing. So anyway, I said, look, mate.
That sounds counterintuitive, but...
Yeah.
Carbon and heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe it's a prototype. I don't know. But look, I just said to him, I almost said to him, let's stop talking now and let's get you on the show and get to know you on the show. Like we did with Jamie. We hadn't spent much time with Jamie Allardyce before we had him on the show either.
No.
So unlike Dale, who we know pretty well. So yeah, that's my only car watch.
And his watch he released was automotive inspired?
I think so, from memory, looking at them, yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I weren't such a technology laggard, I'm sure I'd be able to find that information much faster.
Well, I can see, I understand why people do it.
Auto grip. I'll say it in the thing anyway, but...
auto grip.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, grip, no, grip auto, auto, sorry, grip auto.
I why certainly can't I see any look of the at... things? Some watches and go, oh, if this had this and if this had this, Or it's like, if I had the dial off that watch, the bracelet off that watch,
yeah,
like, I can see why people do it.
So there's the ones that he's already done.
That looks a bit like, what's that Finnish company? The one you like, Tom.
Sarpanova.
Yeah, Sarpanova, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that to it. And then this is the one
they're Finnish,
that he's working on. Yeah. Look at this. This thing's funky.
Oh, that was... Okay, I saw that on your story, yeah.
Anyway, we can talk about that. But I thought it was interesting that he... You know, he's quite clearly more of a car guy than a watch guy. He's doing the watches now. Watches. Yeah, yeah, which is full on.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I like them. These are nice. The ones that the Turismo model that That's he has website. Already released.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll link that up.
Yep.
Or Tom will link that up.
Links in the show notes.
Yeah.
Is that what you say?
Yep. Yeah. I'm pointing up to subscribe here.
No, different. Yeah, it's different platform.
You do that, right?
No, because I don't put my face on.
He doesn't vlog.
I don't vlog.
Right.
I just do voiceovers.
Very good.
Which I hate listening to my own
voice.
Well, you take on a different voice when you do that. You know that, right?
Which?
Yeah,
you do. When you do your things. It's a higher pitch.
My YouTube? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's to be more enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, I think we're pretty enthusiastic as it is.
Yeah.
But... Yes, it's funny. I like it.
Mm.
I sit there with a smile on my face. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's doing his
my YouTube voice.
Yeah.
I've probably got a pilot voice too.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, give us the thing.
No, I'm not.
Give us something.
No.
There's automatic stuff you guys know, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it.
Since starting the podcast and editing, I'm so, like, I know what my own voice sounds like now, and it annoys me.
Mm.
But to me... Oscar Piastri, the new Australian Formula 1 driver, to me, he sounds exactly like me. So whenever I hear him talk, I cringe because I can just hear myself.
That's funny.
But yeah, we've been going for an hour.
Well, we better move on then. So let's start grilling Dale about first car.
You guys are going to laugh. A Holden Nova, 1990 Holden Nova, bought from a elderly lady, one owner in Ballarat.
Okay.
And then, of course, because I was in uni, it was lowered, rims, full exhaust system, full stereo system, subby in the boot. It was a rebadged Corolla.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is that Holden Toyota...
Crossover.
Did you make it end up... Did you think you made it look cool, ever?
I thought I did, but right. I was 19.
But it sounds like most of the stuff you did was internal, not external. No,
I had 6-inch rims on it, lowered, slammed it. Yeah, it scraped. Had a neon kit underneath when that was all the rage, and now that's back again for some reason.
Talking about in my kids.
Yeah, I had the long tubes.
In my kid's street, I was just there today for family dinner, and there's a kid who lives in their street who drives a slammed BMW, like the E36, but the wheels are so
cambered. Yep.
That when he drives down the street,
or static, you know.
Oh yeah, standard. Yeah.
He drives down the street. Standard. Every time I see him drive down the street and hear it and see it, my instant thought is, has he been in a crash? Right. Honestly, he comes
showing,
and parks. You're
showing my your age, my friend.
He comes and parks, and he's not been in a crash, but this thing looks like it's been like taken out. The wheels are everywhere. Yeah. It's like dragging on the ground.
The sad reality is, I drive the Renault Megane at RS at the moment. I got in the Beamer that I test drove today, that little 1 Series, and I was like, oh, this is so much smoother and less jarring on my back.
We're getting old.
We're just getting old, mate. It is, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'm fascinated to know... Well, I'll interrupt. I'm fascinated to know. I'm just about to get 15-inch performance... super light wheels put on my 74, and that 15 inch was the original rims that came on that car.
Mm.
But they're running 16s at the moment. Do you really think I will feel a difference in its ride?
If you go into a taller sidewall, you will a little bit, but from a 16 to a 15, it won't be as much as an 18 to a 17.
Of course,
or something
not.
Like that.
So, because
you've already got heaps of sidewall to cushion things.
Yeah, only because I've had like some diehard Porsche guys say, "Oh, it's going to be so much better on 15s."
Yeah, guys on the Renault group say that if because a lot of the 265s had 19s, and then they go on by 18s because it's less jarring. Just because of a bigger sidewall. And
okay.
Because you got a 35 or 40 from a...
But even then, once you've got the wheels sorted, you've still got choice in your tyre.
Yeah.
So so depending on what choice you make...
Yes.
And whether you know what you're doing or not, and I put myself in the category of not necessarily knowing what I'm doing. You could make it worse. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or better. By luck.
Yeah.
You know, well, not by design.
You've had good luck, so roll with
that. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. So you got the Nova.
Yes.
Yep. So you did the...
That was like my sort of start of my DIY at home or with your mates.
Was there any car influence before that? Did your dad drive a nice car? Where did the car thing come from?
My dad's a mechanical engineer.
Right.
So we grew up, when I was little, he had a Morris Minor and...
Cool.
He pulled that engine out a couple of times in the garage, up on a big chain, you know, the old chain
thing. Yeah.
Pulled the motor out.
On the winch.
He used to live on a farm up in Jendavik and stuff, so we learned how to ride dirt bikes, so he used to strip those down and we'd start putting that together.
Awesome.
So I think that was the start of it.
Mm.
And then when I actually got my own car and then started working, found some mates that I was flying with, doing our training, that were into cars, we all kind of...
Cool.
Started pulling bits apart and putting them back together. And,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Doing silly stuff.
So how long did you have the Nova for?
A couple of years, actually. During uni and flying training. Then that car went with me to Perth when I got my first job flying. So it was over in Perth for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And
what made you change it over? Did you start earning some money?
Yep. First full-time job flying. I went and bought a 180 SX.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's quite a jump.
Yeah. So I went straight from a... little 1.6 underpowered Holden Nova to a built SR20 turbo 180 SX in black.
Nice.
Over in Perth, yeah.
Nice.
And your favourite car that you've owned?
My S15.
S15?
Yeah, my S15 was probably my favourite I've had.
Have you had a lot of cars?
Excluding the... You mean daily driver or like any just all the cars? General.
Ooh.
It'd have to be my Zed. My 240Z.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It
gives me headaches, but it's...
But you can handle that, because you know what you're doing. I couldn't handle it. I'd love to buy one, absolutely. But I don't think I have the ability.
Neither do I. I just...
Yeah, you say that, but you do.
Just roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try fix it to a point, and then go,
I would throw money at it where you do stuff yourself.
I try to, because then I want to put money into other things.
Mm.
So, it's just, it depends. That Zed's hard, because now that it's worth a lot more money than when I bought it, you don't want to
devalue it or
do something wrong, and then it's hard to find replacement parts if you stuff something up, so then that's another issue. So sort of just careful what I do.
It truly is one of the iconic cars, though, in my opinion.
I mean, tuning carbs. I have no idea. I take it to a guy in Essendon, in Airport West, and Tony's just a guru.
Yeah.
Like, I took it there a couple months ago because it'd been sitting around in COVID and it wasn't running right. And I rocked up and he's like, did you drive during COVID? No. Start it up. One rev. Yeah, your jets are fine. They're blocked.
Yeah.
Just by ear. Yeah. So, full acid wash, retuned. So, it's running better now. But to answer your question, how many cars have I had? God. Four or five Silvias. I had a BMW 7 Series.
Wow. Yeah. Big man.
745.
What were you flying then? The 747?
Yep.
Nice.
How long big plane,
big car.
That lasted... I had that 3 or 4 years.
Did anything break?
When I first got it, yeah.
Okay.
What colour was it?
Black, and I slammed it on KW coilovers, so it was probably the only gangster, like, low...
Sounds like Charis should be driving it.
It had a tan interior.
Oh, that's very Charis.
745i, so it was the V8, 4.5 litre. Just put a
745, did you say?
745.
Yeah.
Not the Li, it was just the I.
Shorter...
Yes.
The shorter
one.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with it was the first generation of the optic fiber that they ran in those cars. So they were a nightmare electronically.
Right.
electrically. So yeah, I had a few gremlins with that. So it was a cool car. Had a SS Commodore wagon, the last gen, the VF Gen 1, the 6 litre. So that was when I was still long haul, so I wasn't flying, driving to the airport all the time. And then Renault Megane RS at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had a bit of Euro, bit of Aussie, mostly Jap. I gravitate towards Japanese cars.
Yeah.
So might go back Euro. Well, I am in Euro, aren't I? French.
Yeah.
Obscure Euro.
Bring it back to the Z though. Have you seen who are the big resto moddy type of Z guys around the world?
Oh, well, you've got MZR.
I think that's what I'm thinking of. Are they in the UK?
They're in the UK, but they've only been around. They haven't been around.
No, they haven't.
Long. There's JDM Legends in the US.
Mm.
There's Zed Car Garage as well in the US out of San Diego, where I want to buy a few of their parts. Other than that, it's generally just small, remember the old internet forum groups and stuff like that.
So some guy in a shed.
There's Les Collins Racing down in Warrigal. He builds a lot of the Datsun motors.
I'm probably showing my ignorance, but to me it feels like there's a synergy there, like the Porsches and the resto mods, the Singers, Gunter Works, all that sort of stuff. Seems like it's the same for the Z. And I don't see a lot of that with other cars. Am I wrong? Are there other...
I think it's just that Porsches, because of the kind of people that own them, like, they have the money, they want... A lot of them want air-cooled and not water-cooled and things like that, and they're like, well, I can spend however many hundreds of thousands on a new water-cooled GT3, or I could spend that doing up an old air-cooled.
Yep.
Which I prefer the driving experience of.
Making it cool and modern. Yeah. Which is what these Zs are, which I just think look fantastic.
Oh, they're amazing. They do... You lose a little bit of it because they do the EFI stuff. They don't run the carbs and it's all sort of modern... I guess that's what resto mod is, isn't it? It's more modernizing stuff, which I'm fine with because they keep the original shape of the car and they just... It's all custom.
It's awesome.
So you just choose... Mate, if I...
If you had no money,
if I had the cash, mate, I'd be there.
Yeah,
fly to the UK straight away.
I'd be the only guy driving a Sportomatic Singer.
No, I think they do awesome work over there. So
I think it's a beautiful car. I love, as I've said to you before, the fact that you know it's got so many things that are period, like the side mirrors halfway down the bonnet, which, as you've said, are hopeless functionally, but they just look cool.
They look cool.
Just so cool.
Very Japanese.
Yeah,
Japanese.
And that shape, the coupe, I mean, again, like the 911, that shape, the Z, the way it slides back there, especially on the 240, which is just the two-seater.
It looks like a 911 on the back and then an E-type Jag, like the long bonnet.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing.
It's so cool.
It's unique and you just don't see that kind of styling anywhere anymore.
Well, I even saw the new Z... Matt and I went.
I saw one. We saw one at the Highball.
Highball, yeah.
Okay.
Cars and Coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a Nardo Grey one there.
And a GR Corolla as well.
Oh, yeah, the GR Corolla.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard about that. Yeah, that's right.
With the triple exhaust.
I like them both.
Yeah, I think that for a modern take on that era of cars, I think they did a good job with the Z.
Yeah. Well, Matt and I went. I said, I've been talking about a Jimny for ages. So I said to Matt, come on. I was driving him home. I said, come on, there's a Suzuki dealership on the way home. Let's go and have a look at these Jimneys, which we did. And of course, from the outside, they exactly as I thought they would be, pretty cool. And on the inside, so plasticky.
Yeah.
So plasticky.
Yeah, like, mate of mine bought one. He's been driving for 12 months. He's like, I want to get rid of it.
Yeah. I just can't justify $40,000 on that car. No. 30?
I was looking
possibly.
At
possibly.
He does 100 down the freeway, going to the airport, and he goes, I'm kind of scared. Like, is the gust of wind just going to go, like, pick it up?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I was looking at them for a new daily, but, like, secondhand 30 to 40,
yeah.
it's too much.
Yeah.
If they were, like, 20 to 30, it would be a bit more stomachable. But
old school Suzuki prices, yes, just do it. But over 30, I can't justify.
The problem is you can't get them,
and
everyone wants them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right next door to this Suzuki was a Nissan dealership, and
yep.
and they had the Z there, I think in yellow.
Was that the prototype one? It's been sitting there for a while.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like a demo.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. But Matt and I have sat in it, especially Matt, and he loved it.
Yeah,
and
it's awesome.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool.
Like,
not cheap.
Nah, God, no.
Yeah.
But well, they're competing for the
performance of it.
Yeah. They're competing in Toyota Supra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Land.
Toyota Supra M2.
M2. They're kind of in that. 80, that's their target audience.
Okay. Is it like 80 to 90 thousand? I think there's something like that.
That's so much money.
Yeah, 70. Anyway, maybe it's maybe not. Base. I don't know.
I'm not sure how the Australian spec is.
No,
it's like you wouldn't get base. There's like a
middle. Yeah.
No, that's right.
There's like a middle tier where it's like you get all the limited slip and all that stuff. And that's what you'd be looking at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a laptop in front of me. I could actually Google this.
People can look it up.
Where did I see this one? How about this one that I saw?
Oh, lime green.
So when I'm in I'm in New Zealand, of all places, in Arrowtown,
they're into their classics.
Yeah. Well, I think Arrowtown is a beautiful little town that obviously all these dudes say, let's go for a day trip. Let's go for a drive to Arrowtown.
Probably.
But look at it. You know, great colour. The side mirrors again.
Halfway down there. My good mate Al, he had one at 260 in that colour.
Yep.
That he kind of did a bit of mini resto on and sold it.
Beautiful.
Lime green.
So there you've got the exact same equivalent, but it's the prototype you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, proto. Which looks great. Yeah, 400Z is 80 drive away.
It's just a Z. It's not called the 400Z.
Oh, sorry. sorry, all new Z. So I'm used to the...
I don't know why they dropped the numbers.
And what are you thinking about for a new car at the moment? Because you've got two kids and two doors, which isn't enough.
Yeah, a 2-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. So, I'm still debating. I'm looking at a 1 Series M Sport 125i or something.
I seem to be pretty popular at the moment.
Yeah. They're pretty tight in the back still.
Mm.
So, I'd like to just take a car seat and see how much space there is between getting kicked in the back seat. But I know as Tom and I have been chatting a bit because he's kind of interested in the Megane, the prices are just a bit silly still. They're slowly coming down. But originally I was looking at the i30N or something like that, but it's just the pricing is crazy. And like we were talking about before, cost of living and interest rates and everything else, it's silly money to go and buy a Hyundai that's now on recall for the gearbox anyway.
That's only autos.
Yeah, I'd be getting a DSG. Okay. Yeah, so they're GSGs, crapping it.
So that's why the focus has been bin, because they're manual only.
Mm. For now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you said, mate, we're just T-San and I are getting on. Although your kids are old enough, so you.
Yeah, but still, one of my, funnily enough, I'm pretty confident Matthew will be into cars.
Hmm.
And Sophie likes to drive both my cars, but the latest one, the green one, she really likes.
I bet.
But my middle daughter, I don't think has any intention of getting a license. Well, she's got her L's, but she's not done any hours that I'm aware of. Mm.
He needs a third Porsche, so he's got one for each.
Well, not at the moment because she doesn't drive, so she's out.
You don't want to waste it.
Yeah, but she insists on getting picked up in the Merc. She doesn't like being picked up in the Porsche. She finds it a bit ostentatious or something, a bit loud.
It's loud, smelly.
And she loves to jump into the back seat with her own door, which is what I'm getting at with your car, right? Correct. It's like they kind of need their own door just to jump in and out, and you don't have to lean that seat forward and climb over. Not everyone's a monkey like me.
From a giant SUV bus, because I'm sick of being the taxi for whenever me and my mates do things. If it's like, oh yeah, you gotta like squeeze in, I'm hoping people will be like, I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Different.
What are some of our other standard questions? Because we're probably up to an hour and a half now.
Yeah, probably about. No, it's fine. It's only me that has to edit it.
I don't know how much editing you're going to be able to do with three people around a table on my microphone, but
It's fine. It's just cutting out silences and things like that.
Eating Maltesers and
the
cat scratching.
dream car.
Dream car.
Money's not an object. Is that pretty much the
blank check?
blank check, I'd still go an MZR.
Yeah.
Motorsport.
Exactly.
240Z.
Yeah, yeah. So would you take full your custom. Own, would your car be the donor car?
Yep.
Yeah, I like that idea too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'd probably do, I'd probably leave the ice screen as it is and give them the Targa and say, let's have a safari Targa
yep.
in a Singer or say something.
Tuttle.
Huh?
Tuttle. That's who
you say. Yes, true, 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 true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I was just waiting for you to say Singer because everyone has said Singer and now I'm kind of a bit sick of that answer.
But that's $1 million car, right, isn't it, I think? Is it up there?
No, they're probably... If you're saying to Dale, you have a blank check, it'll be $1 million car. By the time you do all the spec it out.
I heard them talking about like 1,500 hours.
Oh, yeah, they it goes on a rotisserie.
Yeah.
It's stripped back.
Yeah.
Rotisserie.
Yeah.
From scratch. Essentially starting just with the chassis and that.
Yeah.
And they build it all the way back up to your spec, your colours, your engine choice.
Could you imagine all of the interior?
Your interior. And... Oh, they do some great interiors.
Yeah.
And they do that custom exhaust with the out the centre. So they modify the fuel tank and all kinds of stuff.
Nice. So. I like that. What colour would you get it in?
I don't know, actually.
What are the traditional colours do you like besides white? You've got white in yours. Sorry, is it white?
It is white.
Has it got an exotic name like Grand Prix white like mine?
Probably not back from... No, it was Datsun in 1971. They just went Datsun white.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'll probably get crucified. I don't know, actually. I haven't really thought about the colour. Yeah, that's a good question. I like the orange.
I love the orange.
Mm.
I love it. There's an orange one that goes to my local Woolies.
That might be called California Orange or something.
Fiber. Maybe. Looks like these cheesels.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I've got a model of one in orange.
You've got a lot of models, don't you?
I have a few models.
But I'm jealous of the models. I love the models.
That's my mate, Al.
I've only started on the models. I'm trying to keep calm on them, but
they're
so good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're good.
Good quality.
They are, yeah.
And short of owning like a 100-car garage like Seinfeld or something,
yeah,
I can understand why people start collecting model cars.
Yeah, yeah. My mate, he... Al, who's the other Datsun tragic, he mods them too. So he buys them and then he lowers them and, or, you know, puts different wheels on them. And I've got a Hucko with my name on it.
Yeah.
It just says Mr. ACK on the number plate.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on the model. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I reckon orange, yeah. MZR.
Orange over what? Black interior or something more creative?
Probably something more creative.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work with the team.
True, that's part of the. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, we're having a meeting.
Yeah, multiple. Because <Yes. laughs> I'll be so indecisive.
Let's talk switches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I was you, I'd be finding the most obscure, crazy looking like aircraft interior fabric. Oh,
yeah. You could tie that in, right?
Yeah. Well, the Boeings aren't very exciting, so
it wouldn't be. Yeah, but if you be like if you generation. Wound back the clock,
you'd have to go back to the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, let me jump in. What about the Breitling, going back to watches and watches?
Oh, the new 747. The Breitling
747, which is basically a white Navitimer with a red chapter ring around it.
I really liked it.
I liked it. Yeah, I quite liked it.
Yeah, I don't like the price.
But we've talked about that. That's new. So that's our problem, not
their problem. Well, I had that discussion with someone the other day. It's just like, he goes, oh, it's a 751. It's like, you just can't have them all.
No.
That's just the way it is. Like, and that's fine. Like... there's lots of cars I'd love to own or buy or whatever, but you can't. But you can still appreciate them.
You totally
and
exactly
enjoy it for what it is. You don't have to own everything. Everyone seems to be obsessed with owning everything. I need that watch. I need that. I need that. You don't.
I was hoping to try one on. They didn't have one in the boutique, but
yeah, because probably just came out. Right?
Yeah,
and it's a limited edition too.
Yeah,
it's a 43.
Yeah,
43 mil.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I thought it would be the same as mine, a 41.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Mm. Well, that rules me out. That's a great thing, right? It rules me out of buying it. So now I'm just about appreciating it for what it is. I don't have to own it.
Those 43s, those new navvies work well, though.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. I'm sure I could... I'm sorry, I'm sure I could pull it off.
Yeah.
If I could wear a 43 or a 44 when I was 22, I'm pretty sure I can wear it at my age now. Exactly. So it's just about stance and strut and attitude.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I'm real picky and I prefer smaller things. So there's so many watches I'm like, oh, I really want that. Try it on. Nope, doesn't fit.
Too big.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's the way that we kid ourselves and that
I look at the size. And yeah. I go, oh, no, it's not, it's out of mine. Or yeah. I go, ooh, that's a good site. And then look at the price and go, nope, I'm done, move on, next one.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm still managing all but one to be in that sub 10 area. And that helps, definitely. Otherwise, I mean, there are hundreds of amazing watches that I would love to buy if I had $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 to spend on watches.
But see, I'd go and buy a car.
Well, we've had this discussion. There's watch money, then there's car money, then there's apartments, then there's houses. And I don't think they should really overlap too much. But
they do.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, it's relative. Money's relative.
Yeah.
If we were made of millions, then it wouldn't be a problem, would it?
True.
Yeah. There's not much watch-wise I'd probably be looking at over 50, even up to that.
Even if I had that, I just don't think I could do it. I can't see myself doing it. 50 is so much money on a watch.
I could, but that would only be like...
Are people wearing $50,000 watches?
Well, it would be like going to an independent. It would be going to an independent and being like, hey, I like what you do. Can you make me something a bit more to my...
Yeah, I think when you're up in that realm, it'd be nice to have your own custom something a bit more personal, right? Rather than just a generic.
Yeah, I'd be like, let's take this model, but do our own dial or something like that.
To answer my own question, I'm not sure people are wearing those watches overseas anymore.
Oh, no, probably not.
Like, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? You know, that'd be like if suddenly people were trying to carjack my car, like, actively, I just couldn't own one and drive one. You know, so you own a nice watch, which hopefully they love, like, let's say a Rolex. They absolutely love it, but they can't wear it.
Yeah, I don't see the point.
Yeah.
I've got a quick thing to jump in here.
Yeah.
I know neither of you follow it or care, but in Japan, in Time Attack, there's a circuit called Scuba.
Scuba.
Which is a really small circuit. Yep.
I know Scuba.
Generally, under a minute.
Yeah.
He's fairly quick. So the other week, Fire Ando, who's a crazy Japanese businessman with more money than sense, who's built up this crazy Evo that's not much of an Evo anymore.
I saw that.
He's managed to do a 49-second lap around Scuba. And there's a guy, I'll link the video on this, a guy called Sean from a company called Narita Dogfight that does coverage of all the Time Attack stuff. He has a video on the event. But Ando did it wearing an AP Royal Oak chronograph. Because I noticed something really shiny in his wrist in the video. I'm like, oh, pause it, what is that? Oh, Royal Oak chronograph, alright.
To give you the kind of idea of how much money that man's playing with.
Mm.
But it's cool that he's just a Japanese businessman that's in his probably 40s or 50s and just done something that he does for fun, that he's really committed to and has set a world record, basically.
It's cool.
We care about that. We care about that.
Yeah.
We don't know about it, but we care about it.
Did you send the video? Maybe I saw that.
I'm saw not, it not somewhere. Sure if I sent it.
I saw it somewhere.
It might have popped up and you recommended or something.
Yeah, that was cool.
But what we'll ask you now, Dale, is your dream drive. What are you driving? Where are you driving? What are you wearing? And what are you listening to?
Jesus.
What are you driving? Where are you driving it? And what are you listening to? And
basically,
what are you wearing?
Like, what's your dream watch? What's your dream car?
Well, I'm going to have to take my Z, aren't I?
Are
you
good?
Yeah,
I think I took my
Porsche. My MZ.
Yeah,
I'll take my MZR.
Good. Even better. What continent are we in?
Oh, good question.
Have you driven any great roads around the world?
Not heaps. Not as much as I'd like to. So that's a hard one to answer.
Not going to be local.
Yeah. Local. Want to be a bit more exotic, I think.
Shake down your MZR on the Scotland 500.
I'd take it to Italy or something.
Nice.
Like a Melfi. I don't know what the Melfi Coast is like to drive, though. I don't know if it's...
I hope I can tell you later on this year.
When you let me know. But I'll stick with the Melfi Coast and the Z. MZRZ. And what's the next bit?
What are you wearing on your wrist as you drive this car in this beautiful south of Italy?
What am I wearing? I haven't really thought about that.
What would fit?
I don't know. What would fit?
Well, I guess a similar question would be, or a related question would be, do you have a dream watch that you don't own? That, again, budget's not an issue.
I've always liked the Ulysses Nardin Freak.
Yeah.
Just because it's weird.
Yeah.
That would be the watch then.
And it's not, yeah.
It's and seeing it's a modernized, resto-modded.
Yeah.
Zed, let's go with some funky,
yeah,
random.
That's awesome.
Because I'm a freak.
I like that car too. I like that watch too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the titanium. Yeah.
Nice.
That one.
Nice. And what was the last bit to it?
What are you listening to?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what am I listening to? What am I listening to? I think some...
Do you listen to music when you're driving your cars?
Not in the Zed, not much.
Yeah.
Can't hear it anyway.
Right.
So loud. Do you, in the Porsche?
I used to more than I do these days. These days I don't mind just listening to the engine, which was one of the classic wankery type things that does get mentioned a lot. Like, I deleted my air conditioning because it wasn't working and it was heavy and it cost too much to put in new air conditioning. And a lot of Porsche guys are like, have you deleted your radio? And I'm like, why would you delete your radio? Oh, it should be good enough to listen to the sound of the flat six.
I've still got the stereo in there, but I have to turn it up a bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't have sound deadening in at the moment. So it's a bit noisy.
Yeah.
But my MZR would be quite
soundproof. That's right.
Yeah.
Quite soundproof. Nice
if we had like 12 Bose speakers in it or something,
it'd be beautiful. I still want to hear the engine noise though.
Well, that's a switch. Know, yeah, I'm sure that's a switch.
That we discussed. Multiple airline switches.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Or would you have a startup
procedure
in your customized
head. I reckon you'd have to,
right?
Yeah.
And race car spec, and like how about some roof switches? We have some of those going on. I love it when you guys reach up and you're flicking things up there. Maybe. And
I don't know. Probably doesn't need it. I like the clean aesthetic.
Yeah.
You could have fuel pump, ignition.
Yeah, I could do that. That's what I do. Remind me of the old little aeroplanes we do.
And would you have like, because you guys use like folders and books, don't you, for your procedures in the cockpit?
No, it's all iPad now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering whether you can...
We have a quick reference handbook, which is for emergency stuff. That's in a small binder next to our leg.
Right.
That you can pull out.
Is that in case the iPad fails?
Yeah, maybe. That's just how we still do it.
Yeah.
It's just a bit easier to go...
Grab it, then
like
unlock.
That.
Yeah, then go. Unlock iPad, search function.
Yeah. Not recognizing my face because I've got a face of terror.
Oh, look, the app's crashed again. Yay.
Exactly. Maybe a little plaque on your MZR with like the startup procedure there or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
No, you don't want that because then someone knows how to do it.
True. Music, I don't know what I'm listening to, though. That's a really tough one. I don't know. I feel like it should be something Italian, just through the Amalfi Coast, but I don't really listen to Italian music, so... Yeah. Otherwise, I'd go some sort of 70s rock mix or something.
What do you listen to at the moment? Anything interesting? Anything new? Anything you feel like you've discovered? I'm such an old man that I feel like I've actually, when I discover something new that either someone else hasn't or everyone else already knows about, I'm pretty happy with myself.
I've been cycling back through my high school... For some reason, I must be having a life crisis or something. I've gone back to all my old punk.
Okay. Like stuff. Cure or something or what?
I'm not that old.
All right. That's what I think of when I think of punk. And I was around when the Cure were doing their thing.
No, like Offspring and... Okay. Oh, a bit older, like Pennywise and all that sort of genre, that era of stuff.
I got a great compliment the other day as we drove to Adelaide from Emma. She said... wow, this is a really good playlist. And it was all just the stuff I used to listen to in the 90s and stuff.
90s is back.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. I don't, that's that. I don't have anything else to add to that.
Good.
That was a very long, quick fire, sorry.
No, I don't think it's necessarily needed to be quick. What else we got, Tom? It's been so long since we've done this, I don't remember what the run sheet is, so
it's just glad you've actually got one. It's just recommendations now.
Okay, good. What was it? Grip_auto was mine for Instagram recommendations. check them out, but or don't, and wait till the next episode of Driving Time, and hopefully we'll get him on and figure out what he's about from a car and then a watch perspective.
That would be good, I reckon.
It's these two guys desperately search for... You keep looking while Tom... Yeah. Are you organised?
I don't have anything.
Got nothing?
I'm thinking of just ditching Instagram recommendations, doing a general recommendation.
Yeah, so no, it can be something else. Like, what about books and stuff like that? So, I tell you what I read in less than the flight to... Half the flight to New Zealand, I read this Story of Porsche book, which costs all of $20 or something at Dimmicks. And they also do a... Let me put my old man glasses on. They also do a Ferrari and a Harley Davidson and a Mini in the series as well. And it was really informative because up until I read this, I couldn't figure out who was Ferdinand, who was Ferry, and who was... what was the other dude's name? The third one? Bootsy or something. So they're all named Ferdinand. That was my first problem, right? In the last 3 years, I'm like, Ferdinand, like, this guy's had a long career, like three generations.
He's been around a while.
Yeah, yeah. So I recommend, you know, picking up one of these, the story of little books for $20 at the bookshop. And it was a really fast, interesting read. I read it once just for the words, and then I went back and had a really good look at all of the pickies, which are on every second or third, every second page. And, you know, if the other two books are like that, I'd almost want to read the other ones as well. So that's a little recommendation for me. How are you guys going?
I'm going to say, if you're into old classic Japanese neoclassic restoration, JDM underscore legends. They actually had a TV show for a little while in the States, but I don't think we saw it here. But
I might not have seen them on YouTube.
Are they the group that are like with the 90s, all the 90s tune shops, resto modding stuff?
They do more my era, like old 70s Zeds and Huckos. Okay. But I'm just looking through their feed now. They've actually got R32, I can see.
Based in Utah.
Yes. Yeah, so there's the R32.
But then they've got...
Oh, there's the Built by Legends is what I was thinking of. So.
No, this is JDM Legends. Yeah. So they've got more. It's all JDM. There's a Z. Yeah. There you go. Pretty cool page for that.
Yeah.
Old school, classic, Japanese resto stuff.
We need to do more JDM stuff here. Like, go to it. I know there's plenty of it around. In fact, one of the first car meets I went to on my own must have been before I even thought about Porsches. I had the Mercedes, but I went to some car meet at Costco Docklands in the garage, in the car park.
Yeah, that's pretty
And cool. It was fucking awesome.
But was that your first car meet?
That was the first, yeah, but I went as such a newbie, I just parked in the corner and walked around.
So how old were you when you, like... You've only really got into...
It's like 4 years. This is like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about pre that? Were you like into cars not so much?
I always treasured my car, whether that was my first car, which was a Suzuki Swift, or my last family car, which was a Hyundai Santa Fe.
Mm.
If I got a car, I would baby it and clean it, and I was very proud of it. I liked designs, but I was not a car guy at all. I'd never...
Yep.
Like, there were guys at school making car noises. They knew car models and stuff. Mm. I was struggling to keep up with... We weren't a rich family, and I went to a school that had a lot of well-off people, and I couldn't even keep up with what these BMWs were. Like, I remember, you know, there were plenty of big 7 Series driving around,
but yeah.
I was trying to get my head around 535s, 525s, M5s.
All their coding, yeah.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. No, I wasn't really. But I appreciate the shape.
Yeah.
Like, I look back on it now and go, yeah, I always have loved the E-Type. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I just didn't really know anything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when I moved to Perth, like, within a week or two, I went to a car meet, and my housemate, she couldn't understand it. She was like, so do you want me to pack you some sandwiches? Are you going to go and have a picnic? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, we just go hang out with other car enthusiasts. And she just was like, that's just weird. Like, she just couldn't comprehend
yeah.
that a group of people would gather at a
grown car park. Humans.
Grown, well, 22 at the time, but yeah, early adult.
Yes.
Would go and hang out with other 22-year-olds in a car park talking about Corollas and Pulsars.
I guess it's just the equivalent of, it's just like the 25-year-old version of in the playground when we're at primary school and you had a matchbox car in your pocket and you'd be driving it around the sandpit with other kids at school.
My 3-year-old does it now.
So it's just, that's all it is. It's just you've grown up and now you drive your own car and you still want to hang out with other guys and talk about cars.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just some JDM stuff around Melbourne that I really want to do. I tell you though, more than anywhere so far, when I went to LA last year, and experienced the LA car culture, I was blown away.
Yeah, right.
I mean, especially now that I'm actually into cars, I just couldn't believe how into cars seemingly most people there are.
Yeah.
Whether they're driving a new car or an
old LA's car or what. LA's a big car city / state anyway. Yeah. California in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
I'd like,
and the weather's good, so yeah, cars last. Yeah, exactly.
Where I think in New York it might be be way different. Yeah. Because most people are like, why do I need a car?
That's right. It's too hard. Yeah,
it's too hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that might depend on the state you're in.
But I just couldn't believe it. Like, so old, like straight away, like an International Scout or a Bronco, you know, old ones.
Yeah.
And then even us driving around for a couple of days in that Mustang high car just felt right.
Yeah.
You didn't feel like a dick, put it that way.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So car culture is very, very cool. It's unique. And when you go to these high balls or a JDM meet, even if it's not your bag necessarily, the particular mark or brand, it doesn't matter.
Of course not.
It's so cool.
That's what I was saying, going back to before, you can appreciate
other
things and you don't have to have them all, but you can still go, oh, that's really cool. And talk to the owner and talk to the person that owns the car and the story about that car and those sort of things.
And that's why going to watch meetups or car meetups, going to a watch boutique or a car dealership and just cruising around.
Yeah.
Looking at the details and if a salesman can be bothered talking to you, then great. But
it's better when they don't.
Sometimes. I just tell them now, I just say to them straight up, I'm right at the beginning. I'm just doing that bit, you know, for weeks before you want to talk to me.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk to me, great, but...
Yeah, I'm researching. That's my favourite. I'm researching and you're the first one I'm looking at.
But they've been quite good. Virginia was looking for... She's interested in a new... In trading in the Santa Fe for something like a Kona, just a slightly smaller car. Yeah. And so she asked... Well, we had a spare afternoon. I was over there with the kids or something, and she said, "Oh, did you want to come and have a look with me?" I'm not suggesting at all that she needs my help, but I was interested. So we went and had a look at these new cars and had all of that experience as well. Like, it's been a while since I've been to a dealership, and so now you've got the choice of petrol, hybrid, or EV.
Yeah,
exactly. I've never been in that situation before.
Yeah,
I hadn't registered that. You can now pay $70,000 for a EV version of a Santa Fe or something.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, though. You can. Yeah.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, it is. It is. But one day they'll get. One day it won't be. It's a bit like automatics and manuals and stuff. One day there won't be a big difference. It'll just be what flavor do you want? I think it'll get there.
I think manuals will be gone.
Totally.
It won't be an option.
No, I think autos, and I think. I've come back also from full EV to hybrid now as well for some reason. I don't know why. I've just got this feeling that it's a better sustainable option than full EV.
It is in Australia.
Yes.
Given the distances we travel and it's like, how many times as a kid did you pack up the car with your parents and go on a massive road trip somewhere? Like, I did anyway. Yeah. As a kid, we had
Easter time.
Caravan, annex on the side of the caravan, pack the kids up, off we go. I got two younger brothers, so off we go, all in a car, and we drive up friggin' up to Queensland or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't do that in EV. And you know what you've got to do, stop and wait for 2 hours while your car charges, and where are you going to charge it, in the middle of Victoria or...
Well, they're working on that.
It requires planning.
It's still probably 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah. And I drive to Sydney. I've just driven to Adelaide. I didn't have to do any planning, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a tank of diesel, 3/4 of a tank, I don't have to fill up to either of those destinations.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I know diesel's probably horrendous for the environment, but, you know, a hybrid. Yeah. Sounds like a better
flyer. I'm probably the worst.
We don't
I fly high fuel usage aircraft, and I drive an old 240Z.
Yeah, let's not talk about old car fuel consumption. That was one of the first lessons I ever learned when I got the Porsche. Was I filled it up a full tank, and I almost had a heart attack. Firstly, that it was an 80-liter tank instead of a 50-liter tank, and an 80-liter tank of $2 a litre petrol.
That's a lot.
And I've just gone, holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So what I started doing, which I still do, I started just putting in $100.
Mm.
I don't care that it's not a full tank. Yeah. In fact, I justified in my little brain that it's better to drive around on not a full tank of gas because it's not as heavy. And I just don't.
I'm more efficient.
It's a way of ignoring how much money I'm spending on petrol, basically.
You should take your dash out and your aircon, then you'll save some more weight.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dale, did you have a recommendation? I might have been mildly searching.
I did the JDM thing. Legends. JDM Legends.
Oh, you're going to make that, put that in your notes.
Yep. JDM _ Legends.
Because it's easier to do the notes as I go.
Yep.
I'm not going to recommend an Instagram. I'm going to recommend a YouTube video.
Is it Mr. SK Production?
No, that would have been... I should have done that, damn.
Am I allowed to
self-promote? What are all your channels that you've got going on?
I'm actually just taking a break from it at the moment.
Okay.
But there's still stuff on there if people want to see reviews. It's just Mr. SK Productions on YouTube and Instagram.
Okay.
I've already linked up the...
But you've got a flying page? Review.
Yeah, but I don't advertise that.
Okay, it's more personal, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then you've got... I've got a car page too.
Oh, yeah.
That's just... I don't post on that because I haven't been doing much, but I've started doing car stuff again.
But you got historical stuff on there?
It's mostly just my own cars. It's Mr. 240.
I don't even know that one, I don't think, or do I?
Yeah, Mr. 240.
Maybe I do.
Yeah, and I've got Mr. Ace K Productions, and I've got Mr. Flying Ace.
Mm, very good.
Which is actually...
I see what's going on there.
It actually says here it's...
this page has been inactive.
No, it's been Mr. SK Von Richardson. anyway.
Yes. So, my recommendation is the Acura, so essentially Honda. They did a whole docu-series of the building and designing and engineering of the new... GTP car that won Daytona.
Nice.
So, gives a bit of an insight into what goes into building a race car. And it's great to watch that because you learn the big manufacturers are not that different to just club races because they're like, yeah, we've got this big event coming up, but nothing just works yet. So, it's nice to know even the big guys suffer from the same issues.
Very good.
So Fifth Wrist is a website by the community for the community. Follow us on Instagram at Fifth Wrist on Instagram. Find all of us on Instagram. Our handles will be in the show notes. We've got a Slack community, which is good fun and where events are organized and banter's had over new watch releases and new watch purchases. Just send a message to either the Fifth Wrist account or one of the hosts and they'll get you organized to be added into the Slack group, and otherwise, stay on time.
Fifth Wrist is by the community for the community. We would love you to join the crew via our group chat on Slack. Email us at contact@fifthwrist.com and join the movement.